Gail Jones worked at the Pepsin plant in the early 70s, relatively late in its history. But she says that time was no different in terms of morale when compared to its early days.
It was a very, very vibrant plant whenever I was there. A lot happening all the time.
Jones went on to serve on the city council and has been among those trying to save the Pepsin building the last few years. It's been closed since 1985 when Mentholatum, the last operator of the factory, announced its closure. After a series of failed redevelopment plans and years of neglect, Jones and other officials sought out the funds for demolition.
And I had people asking us, it's a shame, why can't we save it? Why can't we save it? And I had to tell almost every one of them, I said, it's not what you think it is anymore. I said, I thought it could be too. I wished it could. But I said, it's nothing like what we remember, guys.
In August, Monticello received a $425,000 loan from the state EPA for restoring brownfields or blighted industrial sites. For the past few weeks, the vacant building on what came to be known as Pepsin Hill is now the site of various contractors taking out large amounts of asbestos and equipment contaminated with lead paint. Other than some steel and concrete, there's been very little to salvage as crews prepare for demolition. But what has been preserved is the factory's history through news articles, photos, and samples of what it produced. A visit to Monticello or the auction website eBay reveals antique bottles that contain the plant's first and most popular product, Dr. Caldwell's syrup Pepsin. Missouri native William Burr Caldwell came to Monticello in 1885. He first worked in the city's downtown square as a druggist, but sold the business a year later, remaining in private practice. Historians say the doctor didn't see the potential for a remedy he developed, a syrup laxative containing the enzyme pepsin. It was sold locally for a while, but eventually druggists convinced Caldwell to market it to other towns via the railroad. Irene Tyndall is a local historian.
And he had one man. His name was Shockey Weaver. And Shockey Weaver would push this stuff, a wheelbarrow full of stuff, to the railroad. And then they would put, we got pictures of Shockey moving the stuff up there. It started very small until they got some of the big wheels in town involved.
Those big wheels that began marketing the syrup included Alan F. Moore, a local bank president. Moore and his partners invested $12,500 into the product, and by the turn of the century, it's reported that Dr. Caldwell's laxative was sold in 10 states. Within a few years, owners knew they needed more space. The group left downtown and purchased an old isolated house near the railroad, and Pepsin Hill was born. Successful advertising demanded even more space. By 1924, four additions had been added, costing more than $350,000. The new wings not only expanded production, but also provided employees with a cafeteria, gymnasium, locker rooms, and a women's lounge. The Pepsin Syrup Factory became the biggest economic engine in town, and Lisa Winters, director of the city's Allerton Public Library, says 1930 census figures proved it.
People list their occupations, and I kind of started a list of how many people were working at the Pepsin building and what they were doing. But after a while, it just got to be too long, and I couldn't keep track. And that was just in the city of Monticello. I know Bement had a lot of employees that were working at Pepsin. But, I mean, you had night watchmen, you had cooks, you had, trainers. You had all kinds of people working there.
In the mid-20s, the Pepsin Syrup Company was sold at a reported $5 million to Sterling Drugs, which would own the facility until just before its closure. There was no change in personnel. But with new bosses came new products, including Fletcher's Castoria and Camphophonique. For the next few decades, the company was recognized as one of the largest pharmaceutical centers in the world. Dwayne Clark was a plant superintendent in Pepsin's later days. He kept a souvenir of his days there, an antacid called Fission.
Both sides are aluminum. A quarter of a million of those have come off of each machine a day.
Clark says Fission ended up losing out to the competition, namely Alka-Seltzer. He says he could see that other products, like Fission, weren't suited for the times, and their production began to slow down or stop while he was working there. At the time he retired in the mid-70s, Clark says he could see a change.
The FDA frowned on multi-story buildings, for one. And, of course, ours was five stories tall. It was old. And I actually saw drawings where our plant was lined out in other plants within Sterling, our products. That gave me an indication it was going to close.
Clark says when the facility finally closed 20 years ago, it was down to 100 or so employees. City officials in Monticello say the next several years proved frustrating. The last owner of the former factory used it only for storage and did nothing to preserve it. The city was able to buy the site 3 years ago, but only to tear it down and address possible contamination. In addition to loan funds for cleanup, the state EPA has granted over $200,000 to date. With the demolition, Monticello expects new developers to come in with their own ideas. Mayor Bill Mitz.
We hope to get some return for our investment in the sense of additional real estate taxes, property taxes, additional sales tax, and in addition to potential employment.
Ideas for the site being discussed include retail and office space, apartments, and a civic center. Meanwhile, the Piatt County Museum is building a new facility just outside of town. Board members say they plan a new exhibit on the pepsin factory that was once Monticello's industrial heart. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.